Cause like a winter tonight, I thought I would always have light. The quick flash that you gave to me, so dark I could barely see. Looking
from wherever you are around the world, welcome and thank you for joining us. Today we're going to be exploring organizational development and growth strategies for the business with Launch Team Consulting. Launch Team Consulting is Vice President Sugar Ray Leonard Jr. He has over 18 years of domestic and international experience as a professional manager and organizational consultant in the sports and finance industries, and has a unique ability to direct complex projects from concept to fully operational status. Let's welcome Mr. Leonard Jr. to the circle. Welcome, Mr. Leonard. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here. This is really interesting. A lot of companies nowadays are hiring, coaches or consultants to help them to grow, to be better, handle the diversity issues that are out there. And we're going to explore that with you and see what you do. Can you tell me a little bit about Launch Team?
Yeah, well, Launch Team, we founded it just over 2 years ago. We just saw a need in the market. My partner, Dr. Joy Wright, and I saw a need in the market for a stronger basis of diversity, educational development, organizational development. And we thought that we could have just our experience and backgrounds, because she is from a Navy background, and I'm from more of a sports and entertainment background. So those two combined have a lot of similarities, a lot of things that translated really well into different organizations that we work with.
Excellent. Sounds like a dangerous team there.
We do well. We're a good team.
Yeah, you'd be a good team in wrestling, that's for sure. Huh? So long-term consulting, the teamwork aspect, what kind of problems are you seeing out there right now in companies in regards to team building?
Just for team building, I see a lot of communication issues. We have the marketing department not communicating, sales department, the HR department not communicating with the whole organization, and you have the executives that are not speaking two different languages. So there's a communication gap when you're talking about working with different organizations and how they respond, and things that they may want to have from the C-level executives that comes down to everyone else that's working in the organization.
Interesting. So you work with all the different levels. Is that how you start off, by looking to see what the bottom level, but the workers are doing and what their issues are and the C-level issues?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We start with the organization, basically the people on the ground, the sales people, customer service, HR, and find out kind of what the issues are internally. And then we translate that to the C-level executives and let them kind of know what's actually going on with their organization. Because a lot of times, they have so many different things that they're dealing with on a daily basis that, the communication gap gets stronger and stronger. And when you're trying to translate what's actually happening within your organization, it gets, gets muddled sometimes.
Yeah, I would imagine so. It's probably as complicated as a husband and wife. Maybe not as complicated.
Right.
Let me ask you this. On that miscommunication, do you see a lot of issues with differences in generations, like the millennials with the baby boomers, or are you seeing more differences with diversity? How's that working?
Yeah, it is a cultural and an age difference, basically. And you have different generations are speaking two different languages. So you have the millennial generation that's doing a lot more tech savvy. They don't actually communicate besides having text messages or emails a lot of times. And the older generation wants to have a conversation. And so, you can't translate emotion through text message or email very well. So that becomes an issue when you're having that conversation. So a lot of times trying to just build that gap between there and fill that gap in. We recently had a contract that we did with PAC Fleet and the Navy. And we talked from the CEOs and ex-souls all the way down to the enlisted. And we definitely saw that there were some communication gaps. And if you think for an organization as strong as the U.S. military, and that they're having organizational issues as far as communication, the standard organization, standard corporation is going to be a little bit tougher to deal with as well.
Yeah, we can't have that with the military, that's for sure.
Right.
Yeah, that would not work out. With the millennials, are there any kind of differences in regards to work ethic or perception of work? I've heard some people say sometimes the millennials, they're more 9-to-5ers. The baby boomers were 9-9ers.
Yeah.
Do you see that at
all?
I think it is.
I think it's a perception issue. You know, I know a lot of millennials that work longer hours, but it's just in a different type of way. We don't have as much in the manufacturing where they're going to be there and go from, you know, not 6 in the morning to 6 or 7 in the evening. You know, they'll be on their, you know, technology machines or whatever they're doing throughout the day and kind of sporadically taking time and then coming back to the work. And so, you know, they're never disconnected from work. That's the difference that I see with a lot of the millennials. They're never disconnected because they're always on their Blackberries or their iPads or, you know, iPhones or something like that. So I think it's a perception just because you don't see the actual day-to-day sitting in the office for 12 hours kind of work.
That's a good point. I like that. On the diversity issue, you told me you just came from London. You were there for 45 days. Or no, I was in 2012.
That was in 2012 for the Olympics. I travel all over the world, from Japan and Guam. We just got back from there. So different areas, Australia, New Zealand. So we go all over the world. And I've had the pleasure from being in celebrity spotlight for most of my life to have experience in different cultures, different people, from different socioeconomic statuses from everywhere. And it was just such a blessing to learn that at an early age about difference in cultures. So I have a larger, broader global kind of approach when I'm talking to people and a little bit better understanding about the differences in cultures and how communication and diversity can get muddled sometimes.
Is it really that different? For a company like in Japan, handling their structure from sea levels down to the customer service level compared to an American company, for instance?
I don't really think it's all that different. I mean, I think, you have people with issues, personal issues. You have people struggling at work. You have motivational issues. So there's a lot of the same issues. It's just, how it's translated. It's a little bit different.
That's interesting. How about when they come over here? Anything there at all? If you have somebody, for instance, Japan that comes in, maybe a C-level executive comes over here, takes over a company, not from Japan, wherever it is, France, and they come here, would that kind of change the atmosphere of the group? Does it do anything?
Well, I think so. I think there are some cultural differences that do make things a little bit different. Like we always talk about the communication. When I talk about my FAME concept, which is focus, acknowledge, motivate, and educate. So that's pretty simple way of having it. Focus on the issue, find out what the issues are, acknowledge that there is a problem, motivate, find the motivation behind it and why you want to solve this problem, then educate and act and create action from that education. So I think when you have people coming over from different cultures, they may be a little bit stronger, maybe a little bit more laid back in how they're actions are just because of what they've seen when they grow up and how they work in different areas. But all in all, I think it's still the same thing that everyone wants to be successful. And it's the approach and how it's communicated and kind of the way the organization looks at it from the top down that maybe causes some issues sometimes.
Welcome to Adelante. This is Adelante Recovery, and my name is Yvette Kuglin, and I'm part of the staff.
Adelante Recovery Center has helped people in dual diagnosis for 5 years. We accept most PPO insurances and provide luxury accommodations and 24-hour support. To speak with an admissions counselor, call 1-888-242-4450.
A lot of time we don't even know what's wrong with us, and sometimes we need to get away to figure that out. So if you want to go for a little retreat out in Corona Del Mar, which is a confidential location, we're here to help. So we're only a phone call away. Thank you.
So what are some of the strategies that you use or commonly use for growth? I know you specialize in the growth strategy area. What's going on there?
Right. So basically, like I discussed, I use the FAME concept a lot of times. So we focus and find what the issues are. And focusing and finding the issue is not just the external issue, which ends up becoming the root of the end of the problem. We want to find the root of the problem. And why is the company underperforming? Is it the product? Is it lack of motivation from the employees, lack of training? So we do a deep dive kind of research to find out what is the core root of the issue, and develop a path of how to actually get to there to be successful.
Interesting. Now, you said you came from a sports and entertainment background. What are some of the things that you learned from that that have helped you here?
Oh, wow. So I was a sports agent for over 8 years. I had a pretty successful sports management company for a while. I had about 23 people, athletes on my roster. Oh, wow. at my company. So we were doing pretty well. The difference with the sports and entertainment area from what I see in corporate America is that you're kind of living in a bubble. Everything nowadays is so magnified that you have no time nor leeway from making any mistakes, especially when you reach that certain level. And it's very hard to trust people even within your organization or within your circle from being in a celebrity light, because it's hard to know who is around you for what. So that translates over to having personal responsibility and looking at yourself in a larger light and knowing that what you do is going to reflect on the others around you.
And this was in the sports entertainment world?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You don't absolutely see that very much in the corporate America world as much, at least?
Not as much. I mean, when you look at it and you have social media out there, you can quickly get into a situation where your words can cause a big issue. But a lot of times in the corporate America, you don't actually have that larger platform that's going to expand as quickly as it does in sports and entertainment.
That's true. That has to be tough. You can't do anything out there. You say the wrong thing in your history.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Unless you're Charlie Sheen, but he seems to get away with it somehow.
I'll stay away from that one.
So let's see here. Now, do you work with small businesses or only large corporations? Who do you work with?
Yeah, what we've been doing a lot has been working with small to medium sized corporations. Over the years, we have worked with some larger corporations, but I think where we see the most growth and most benefit is small to medium sized corporations is what we've been working with quite a bit right now.
And is that dynamic? Is there a difference in the dynamic between a small business culture and a medium sized business, or once again, same thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a culture, because when you see from a small size, small company, you look in that everyone that's in the corporation is invested, basically, because there's not a whole lot of room for error. And when you look at a medium sized company, with the growth, there's a little bit more turnover we see a lot of the times, because it's harder to find the correct people, because you're not actively focused in on it. The people that actually started the corporation or the company, are not actively having their footprint or thumbprint on it constantly.
That's a good point. Well, we got a couple minutes left. Wanted to see if you have any stories that stood out, any success stories in your company, the latest ones. Anything that stood out?
Absolutely. We're like I said, the project that we just did with the Navy and PAC Fleet, we dealt with some issues on bystander intervention and sexual assault, which was kind of an issue that was going through. I mean, that happens in a lot of different organizations, but in the military, it was a strong issue that we had to deal with. So we came up with a model along with our partners called New Point Strategies, and it was a STOP model, which it's pretty simple, pretty simple model, but it made sense, and it was something that kind of stood out, and actually that was implemented into a lot of the parts of the military right now. So we work with LiveSafe Mobile. So LiveSafe is an organization founded by one of the young ladies that was shot in the Virginia Tech massacre. At college massacre. Yeah, she started it because she couldn't actually communicate. She was shot three times. She couldn't actually communicate when the shooter was coming in directly with the authorities. So LiveSafe developed this application that's kind of a two-way push application. So it develops GPS location and texting to actually find out where someone is in an emergency. So it's being implemented in a lot of the universities around the country, Georgetown University, Pepperdine University, Virginia. And so there's a lot of different universities that are using this technology, and we're helping kind of drive the way about the training of the importance of being safe from domestic violence and sexual assault.
That's wonderful. That's great work. So, tough work,
that's,
too.
That's worked really well right now. Yeah.
Excellent. Great work. Tough work. Well, we have a couple things left. We have the fastball question, which I didn't prep you for, but I'm sure you can handle it. But before we get to the fastball question, where do we go to find out more information about Launch Team?
Oh, excellent. Yes, you can go to launchteamconsulting.com. So here's worldwide the web. Here. It's all the information. Is out there on the World Wide Web. So just Google us, launchteamconsulting.com, and we'd be happy to give you more information about what we do and free consultation, and love to just sit down and expand what we do.
Excellent. Are you ready for your fastball question?
All right, let me get my baseball game together.
Now, you have a unique background because of where your family, where your father came from. We have one of the biggest fights in history coming up. Does Mr. Sugar Ray Leonard Jr. have an opinion on who it is, Pacquiao or Mayweather?
Yeah, what fight are you talking about? Okay, we're glad you just refreshed my memory.
Any opinion on that one?
Yeah, I do. I just think it's long overdue. I'm super excited for this fight. I think it's something that's amazing for boxing. And I think it's going to be a great one. I'm hoping that's actually a trilogy. I'm hoping to see three fights out of it. You know, competitive fight, a very competitive fight that that the public continues wants to see, and because it helps the sport of boxing. What my father's doing now with the Premier Boxing Champions on NBC, he's actually doing the commentary on that and bringing boxing back to primetime television. So I just think all this build up and I just hope the fight's just not a dud. I hope it lives up to the hype. That's it.
I hope all ears stay on, too. Thank you so much again, Mr. Leonard Jr., for being on the show. Fabulous to learn more about your company, Launch Team Consulting. Thank you, everyone, for joining us as well. Remember, our motto is simple. Wherever there's psychology involved, whether it's organizational development or not, we're going to be there. We'll see you next time, everyone.